Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren worship service this morning. We're so delighted to have all of you who have come out to join us in this time of worship. For you here in the sanctuary, it's so good to be able to look out over you and see your faces. We especially want to say welcome to our visitors and guests. We're glad to have you. There's been a number of changes that have actually taken place here in the sanctuary and in the church and in the grounds. We have our new monitors up in our worship service for our multimedia use. We have had changes because of this CDC guideline changes to where we've relaxed some of the social distancing. We've removed the mask. If you've been vaccinated, you can still wear a mask if you wish to do so. For some people, that's still something they wish to do, and that is certainly fine. I hope that you've seen outside the upgrade to the sign between the fellowship complex and the sanctuary. There's been some changes there, and it might surprise you as you come in to see these changes if you haven't been here a couple weeks. Again, I just want to say I'm glad that you're here this morning, that you've come to celebrate with us the Lord Jesus Christ in our worship time together. And so welcome to all of you. I want to ask you a question this morning. Why is it that we as human beings have so much trouble heeding warnings? Well, people don't like to be told what to do. I don't like it, do I, Vonda? Do you like being told what to do? I doubt it. This past year of the pandemic has revealed how much that is true, that we don't like to be told what to do. There has been so much confusion as to what is the truth that has been said about the coronavirus, that's been said about the danger of it. Is it dangerous or is it not? Or about the death? People said, I don't believe those people died from coronavirus. There has been so much confusion about the safety of wearing masks. Do I need to or do I not? I have wondered this past year why so many people thought the pandemic was a hoax. Oh, and there were many that did. Why so many people said that those who were dying were not really dying of COVID-19 virus? And I still wonder why so many people will not take the vaccination. Well, it's true that people don't like to be told what to do, but we human beings think we can take care of ourselves. We don't need other people telling us what to do. We can take care of that, and we're skeptical when other people say, you ought to do this or you ought to do that. When they're warning us of what to do and what not to do, we're kind of stand back and listen, but not really listen. Whatever the reason, we do have much trouble in obeying warnings. Sometimes it's because we misunderstand the implication of the warning. Such is the case when a number of years ago, I took a vacation down in Cherokee, North Carolina, and one day while visiting a small zoo there, I stopped at the cage that was housing some monkeys, and it had a sign that said, beware, these monkeys steal sunglasses. And something else was written on the warning in smaller letters on the sign, so I leaned over to get a closer look at the sign. And as I did, all of a sudden, this monkey just jumped on the cage and grabbed my sunglasses and stepped back up from the cage and sat down on the limb and put on my sunglasses and then looked up and grinned at me. Well, the sign warned me, but I didn't comprehend the implication of how quickly that could impact me. But most often, the problem is not to misunderstand the implication. The problem is ignoring the warning. What do you do when you see a sign posted saying, do not touch? You know, like when there's a sign that says, do not touch wet paint. You know, I don't know about you, but I am always compelled to see if it's still wet. Oh, come on. I know you're like that sometimes too. However, not paying attention to warning is a dangerous thing. For example, a number of years ago, I was out in the state of Washington on the West Coast, and I saw the majestic Mount St. Helens snow-capped peaks in the summertime. I was just awed by that. And a short period after that time of flying back home here to Virginia, Mount St. Helens blew wide open. The shock wave rattled windows in that area for hundreds of miles around. But prior to the eruption, scientists had been monitoring the peak, and they didn't know when it would go off or how big the blast would be, but they knew it was going to happen. They were warning everyone because all of the signs of a volcano eruption was coming, and they saw it and they knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. And local media, they kept giving broadcasts and they were issuing warnings faithfully. But as the time elapsed, as people were waiting for this to happen, when it didn't occur when they thought maybe it should, in the timeline that they thought it should, they became laxed and bolder, and campers and photographers and others moved in to the mountain to get a closer look. And then it happened. The mountain that had been dormant since 1857 blew up. And it spewed ash miles into the atmosphere, and it killed at least 30 people who were standing close by to observe this happen. And those who died had failed to heed the warnings. And they could have been saved if they had not ignored the warnings. Today we're going to look at a warning found in the letter to the Hebrews that we read in our scripture lesson this morning. The danger of turning away, of not listening, of ignoring God. Many followers of Jesus in our day and time have to fight the temptation to not give up living a godly life. You know, we keep preaching that Jesus is going to come again, that the end will come someday. And people have kind of gotten laxed over that, hearing that message, and they no longer pay much attention to it, and they're always flirting with the idea of just giving up, obeying God, and doing what Jesus teaches. And so their life slips and drifts away from being a godly person, until what we see is that we become just like everybody else around us, whether they believe in God or not. We live just like they do. We say the things they say. We do the things they do, which we condemn as ungodly, but we're doing them also. And the scripture says, let us not be guilty of ignoring the warning today. So, first, the warning is that we must hear, we find in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, and so, the writer of Hebrews is saying, today, listen. Today, God expects us to hear. God expects us to respond. The writer of Hebrews is reminding us that the human tendency is to not pay attention, not to listen, not to hear, but to delay that, to procrastinate, especially when it comes to things of spiritual matters. So here in Hebrews, he repeats that three times when he says today. In verse 7, he says today. In verse 13, he says today. In verse 14, he says today. Why? Why is he crying out that way? Why the urgency? Well, we find in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says the Apostle Paul stated, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, the time to respond to God is when you hear Him calling. The time to respond is always now. The problem begins when we hear the Word of God, like you are this morning, like we are this morning. You hear the Word of God. You feel the conviction that, yes, God probably is speaking to me. The Holy Spirit is bringing to me an understanding that I need to pay attention to this, and tells ourselves that we need to do something about what we're hearing God say to us. But then we do nothing. We tend to procrastinate with the most important issues of life, and that is God speaking to us. But the warning that runs throughout this section of this letter is that if we fail to follow through when challenged by the Word of God, when God speaks to us, the problem is that we face the inevitable hardening of our heart, and that we then no longer can hear God when He calls. We are no longer able to respond when God is calling because our hearts have gotten hardened and we cannot hear. The heart gets harder every time we say no to Jesus. Every time we hear God speak to us, it gets harder if we say no. Anytime that we hear the Word of God and we say no to any part of His truth or His will or His call, our heart gets hard. So if we are tempted to put off hearing God's Word, to put off our spiritual need, the Scripture warns us of the dangers of that foolish choice and encourages us not to do that, not to miss out on the spiritual opportunity that God has set before us, because God wants us to hear. That's the first warning, is to hear. And here's the second. It's a warning to heed. Verses 8 through 11. Do not harden your heart. In Hebrews 3, where we read verses 8 to 11, it actually interprets Israel's experience when they were coming out of Egypt. And so what we're hearing is that this writer is talking about, don't you remember what happened when God called to the people back in that day, what they did? They were in slavery there in Egypt for 430 years. God led them out of their slavery with a mighty hand. Do you remember seeing all the miracles and what God did and what He did to Pharaoh? And God called Moses out and raised him up to lead the people of Israel out of their bondage. But rather, when God did that, and you saw all of that for 430 years after He had delivered you from that, then you didn't have a grateful heart. You weren't thankful for what God did for you. You weren't astonished by the deliverance. You weren't astonished by how God in His limitless power had saved you. And there was this constant attitude of compliance because everything did not go exactly as you wanted each day. You know, here they go through the Red Sea and they're delivered from their slavery, and the first thing they say is that, "Lord, we don't want this food that You're giving us, this manna from heaven. We'd rather have some quail, some meat, and some cucumbers on the table." It offended God. All that God had done for them, they weren't grateful. They weren't thankful. And so they got onto the edge of the Promised Land, and the spies came back with a negative report that, you know, the people over here across in the Promised Land, they're giant. I'm not so sure we can overcome them. And so they, instead of believing God and what He said He was going to do and His promises, they became disobedient. And they said, really, what we want, God, we want you to raise up a leader, take us back to Egypt. Let us go back. We'd rather go back than what we're facing here. But when Caleb and Joshua, two of the spies who had been sent in to see these so-called giants in the land, they came back and they said, it doesn't matter. God has the power and he can deliver us. He can give us the land. And we need to go now and possess the land like God has told us to. But when they said that, what did the people do? They picked up stones and they were ready to kill Caleb and Joshua. Because that's not what they wanted to do. When the people refused to obey the Lord, God pronounced judgment upon them. You know, that judgment came because they didn't believe God. And the same thing can happen here this morning in this worship service. God could say to us, there's something I need you to hear. There's something I need you to do in your life. And we could say, no. And I guess there would be a judgment upon us for that, the hardening of our heart. Their unbelief cost the Israelites everything. And as a result, they missed out on what God wanted to do upon his blessing. It's a warning for us not to do the same thing, not to repeat that same sin. They did not have the faith to trust God for the future. Do you? Do you have the faith to trust God, what he wants to do in your life and for your future? You know, without a personal relationship with God, just being a church member is like wearing a heavy yoke upon our shoulders. We get so burdened coming to church. We have to read the Bible. We have to give money. We have to attend church. And we are having to do a lot of other things that really is a burden. It's not a joy. It's not a blessing. It's not something that we have given ourselves. And that's what happens when we come to church, but we don't have the relationship with Jesus Christ that he wants us to have. And that is that there is nothing better than Jesus. Because when he is the best thing you can have, then all these other things that you do as you participate in a church, they become a joy. They become something that gives meaning to life. But when everything is a duty, instead of drawing on the wonderful person of Christ, it becomes a burden. So, not only are we given a warning to hear, and we're given a warning to heed, the third thing, we are given a warning to heal. In verse 12 through 15. Guard your heart, it says in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see, the warning is to guard our hearts because there is danger in each of our lives of turning away from what God is speaking to us, of turning away what we know is the truth. But we sometimes won't want to hear the truth because, frankly, it demands everything of us. What is an evil heart of unbelief? It is a heart that stands off from God, says, I can do it myself. It's a heart that does not believe God when he says, this is what you need to do. An evil heart. And a heart of unbelief is a heart that will not trust God when he does speak to us. A heart that will not follow God when he's calling us. A heart that will not believe the truth when God makes it plain. We are to encourage one another. In verses 13 and 14, it warns, exhort one another daily and do not harden your heart. So if you do not think you need anyone else to live out the Christian life, then you're arrogant and you're puffed up and you're in the danger of a fall. God put the church in our lives so that we together could go through the needs that we have in order to follow Jesus faithfully. We need the encouragement of other believers because sin is deceitful. And we need people to point their fingers at us sometimes and say, that is not good for you. That is not right for you. That is dangerous. That will harm you. And I love you like a brother and a sister, and I don't want that to happen to you. That is why we need the church, because it is so easy to fall into deceit. We might look at things and it looks good and it promises much, but it enslaves us and it destroys us and it leaves us broken. It devastates families, shatters lives, and ruins our testimony so that we can't lift up praise about who Jesus is and what He can do in our lives. Not only that, it burdens a person's heart. Sin does. Deceitfulness does. A hardened heart. The more a person sins, the easier it is for them to continue to sin, because the heart gets hardened. We need others to warn us when we are in trouble. And that's why I'm here today. I believe God has sent me to warn us, to warn you, because God is calling you. God is calling you to Himself. But will we hear? One day, a Christian lawyer by the name of Tom McPheeters called on another lawyer in his office by the name of Schofield. And as he was about to leave the office, he suddenly turned around to where Schofield was standing, and he faced him directly and he said, "You know, for a long time I've been wanting to ask you a question that I've been afraid to ask you, but I'm going to ask it to you now." Said Schofield, "I never thought of you as being afraid. What's your question?" And McPheeter said, "I want to ask you why you're not a Christian." And there was a long pause of silence, for that question had come so unexpectedly, and for the moment it just kind of shocked Schofield. Schofield thoughtfully answered, "Well, does the Bible say something about drunkards having no place in heaven?" "McPheeters, you know that I'm a hard drinker." "You have not answered my question, Schofield," McPheeters said. "I asked why you're not a Christian." Schofield said, "Well, you know, I've always been a nominal Episcopalian. You know that. But I don't recall ever having been shown just how to be a Christian. I don't know. I don't know how." And to that comment, McPheeters, he got what he believed God was calling on his heart, and he pulled out of his pocket a New Testament, and he took a chair from the lawyer's office and he sat down there and he read passage after passage of the Word of God, showing Schofield God's way of salvation simply and clearly. And then he put to Schofield the plain and definite question: "Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And Schofield said, "Well, I'm going to think about it." "No, you're not," McPheeters said. "You've been thinking about it all your life. Will you settle it? Will you settle it now? Will you believe on Christ as He says that you must and be saved? And Schofield was silent and in deep thought for a long time. And then he turned to McPheeters and he looked at his friend full in the face and he said, "Okay, I will. Today is the day." Now, Dr. C.I. Schofield, after that conversation, his life was changed forever. He became the author of the well-known Schofield Reference Bible that so many people have in their libraries, in their homes, and churches. God changed his heart, and he became a man in God's hand who touched the world. Now, I want to ask an important question of you this morning. Are you a Christian? If you're not, why not? And if you are a Christian, and yet you know you're not the Christian that God wants you to be, why not? If our hearts has become hardened so that we don't give ourselves to God, because when God calls us and speaks to us, if we expect nothing from God when He calls, then I guess I understand why we wouldn't respond. And when we attempt nothing for God when He does call us, then I guess I can understand. And our belief in Him is more in our head than it is in our heart. We know there is a God. We know there is a Christ. We know Jesus loves us, but we have never been in love with Jesus. So the question today that I want to leave you with is, will you let God change your heart if He has spoken to you? For God is calling. And I pray that you will not harden your heart. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank You for warning us of the dangers of losing our way and not allowing You to speak to us and to lead us. Oh God, if we have ears in our spiritual heart, we can hear You calling to us. And we want to come to You now. We thank You for helping us to come now as we let Jesus change our heart. Jesus is the only one who is able to set us free from sin and death. Jesus is the only one who in His love can forgive us completely for all that we have done wrong. And Jesus is the only one that calls us to live by His Spirit of life and gives us a new heart and a new life. He wants to change your heart. Will you come today? Will you come now? Will you come to Jesus and let Him change your heart into a life of joy and blessing? The Lord is calling, and He is waiting for you to come. Amen. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You. You are I be like